condition, it's not included within knowledge, just one condition is important. So the chapter 8 condition, which is rejection of everything that is worshipped besides Allah. That the person, upon tawheed, necessarily rejects the worship of everything that is worshipped besides Allah. And Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he mentioned that the saying La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, has two pillars, both of which are essential. For it contains nafi and ithbat. It contains a negation of something, a denial and negation of something, and an affirmation of something else. And a person, when he makes that statement, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, he must be upon both of these pillars. He must be upon negation of worship for everything. La ilaha. That nothing has the right to be worshipped. Nothing at all. So he negates worship for anything. And he is upon ithbad, affirmation of the right to worship for one alone, for Allah alone. So he negates worship for anything besides Allah, and he affirms it for Allah alone. And likewise, he mentioned with regard to the sunnah, that just as it's upon a person to accept the whole of the Qur'an, and rejecting a single part of it will be like rejecting the whole of the Qur'an, and he will not be counted as a believer in the Qur'an, and likewise a person must accept the whole of the sunnah, all of it, all of the authentic sunnah, he must accept it. And rejecting a single part of it will be like rejecting the whole of it. You will not be a person of the sunnah. Not until you accept the whole of it. And as the Shaykh said, and it is upon us not to argue and not to dispute. Rather, we accept the sunnah, all of it. And we don't say, as the people of the Ikhwan al-Muflisin say, that we'll take what suits us from the sunnah. We decide what suits us from the sunnah, what's easy for us. What's easy for the people, we'll take it. What we don't like, what's difficult, we'll decide what we do in those cases. So we take from the sunnah what we find appropriate or easy, and the rest, we leave. The Shaykh mentioned this is the way of the people in Invasion, that they take a part of the sunnah, and they leave a part. What doesn't suit them, they leave it. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued with what occurs here on page 108 of the second volume, point number 114, that Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَإِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ فَلْزَمْ جَوْفَ بَيْتِكَ وَفِرَّ مِنْ جِوَارِ الْفِتْنَةِ وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْعَصَبِيَّةِ وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ مِنْ قِتَالٍ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ فِتْنَةٌ فاتق الله وحده لا شريك له ولا تخرج فيها ولا تقاتل فيها ولا تهوى ولا تشايع ولا تمايل ولا تحب شيئا من أمورهم فإنه يقال من أحب فئال قوم خيرا كان أو شرا كان كمن عمله وفقنا الله وإياكم لمرضاته وجنبنا وإياكم معاصيه. That Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, and when discord, al-fitna, occurs, then remain within your house and flee from proximity to discord, fitna, and beware of asabiyyah. Beware of bigoted fanaticism and all fighting that occurs between the Muslims for this worldly life. Then it is discord, fitna. So fear and be dutiful to Allah, He who is alone, having no partner, and do not go out in it, and do not fight in it. Do not fall into it, do not take sides, and do not incline towards one side. And do not love anything from their affairs, since it is said, he who loves the actions of a people, whether they are good or bad, will be just like the one who did them. May Allah guide us and you to those things that are pleasing to Him. And may He keep us and you away from acts of disobedience to Him. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation. He said, he's saying, وَإِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةُ فَلْزَمْ جَوْفَ بَيْتِكَ. And when discord, fitna, occurs, then remain within your house. He said, when discord or fitna occurs, and it is fighting between the Muslims. He's defined what is fitna, al-qital bayna al-muslimin. And it is, this discord, it is fighting between the Muslims. Then stay within your house. Withhold your hand and your tongue in order to stay safe. This is if your going out from your house does not contain any benefit and nothing will be accepted from you. I mean, there won't be any benefit if you did go out, there's no benefit. If you were to go out and try something, try to rectify it, it won't be accepted from you. So Shaykh says, stay in your house. This is the case if your going out does not contain any benefit and nothing will be accepted from you, then stay within your house. As for if you're going out along with the people and mixing with them and calling them to Allah and clarifying the truth to them contains a benefit, then in that case, go out. He said, and this is what is called al-ikhtilat wal-uzla. And this issue about going out and mixing with the people, or not, is called al-ikhtilat wal-uzla. Mixing with the people, or keeping away from the people. He said, al-ikhtilat, mixing, and al-uzla, remaining apart, remaining detached. Which of these two is best? He said, we say, this varies. This is something which varies. So if mixing with them contains a benefit, and you can call to Allah and make the truth clear, then in this case, mixing with them is what is best. Mixing with them is better. Whereas if mixing with the people and calling them produces no benefit at all, then keeping away from them is what is best. Then he makes a further clarification and said, this is the case with regard to the person who has ilm, who has knowledge. You know what we just heard there? If it produces benefit, mixing with them, you can call them to Allah, make the truth clear to them. It's better to go out. If it's not going to benefit, it's better you stay in your house and don't mix with them. He said, this is the case with regard to the person who has knowledge. But as for the person who does not have ilm, who does not have knowledge, then he should yatazil. He should keep away whatever is the situation, so that he himself will not be put to trial whilst he does not realize and is not aware. So the jahil, the ignorant person, should remain within his house. And as for the alim, as for the scholar, then the detail applies as we have mentioned. In times of fitna, personal knowledge, if it's going to benefit him going out, then he goes out. If it will not benefit, then he stays in his house. As for the jahil, he stays in his house in either case. Become a fitna, he stays in his house. He said, he's saying, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْعَصَبِيَّ. And beware of asabiyya, blind, bigoted fanaticism, fanatical adherence. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning bigoted attachment to falsehood. being blindly attached to something that's false, and just supporting your own opinion or your group which you ascribe yourself to. He said, make the truth your intent and your aim, whether it is with you or with someone else, whether it is with your group or with a group different to your group. Make your aim the truth. And the truth is the lost property of the believer. Wherever he can find it, he should take it. As for the one who just blindly sticks to his own opinion and he rejects the truth, then this person is upon the religion of the days of ignorance, the days of Jahiliyyah. And this is a case of blind partisanship of the days of ignorance, and it is not from Islam. So the Muslim seeks after the truth and he follows the truth, whoever it is with. This is the true Muslim. He makes his desires follow that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, as occurs from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, which occurs in the Arba'een, the 40 hadith, and was declared authentic by An-Nawawi rahimahullah, that he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you will truly believe until he makes his desires follow that which I came with. In a footnote here, they mention with regard to this hadith, as was indicated here, it's a hadith in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, and they mention checking that this has proceeded in the first volume. I'll just repeat what we had at that point, that with regard to this narration, it's reported by Ibn Abi Asim in his book As-Sunnah, as hadith number 15, by Al-Baghawi in Sharh As-Sunnah, and by others besides. And this hadith was declared weak, da'if, by Shaykh Al-Albani in his checking of As-Sunnah, and in Al-Mishkat as well, hadith number 167. And Shaykh Al-Albani said with regard to it, the chain of narration is weak because it contains Nu'aym ibn Hammad, who was weak. Nu'aym ibn Hammad, the great imam and scholar of the Sunnah, however, in narration, as the Shaykh said, he was weak. And he said, and it was declared weak by Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab on account of other reasons. And he criticized An-Nawawi for declaring it authentic. So refer to his book, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. He referred to the book of Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab in explanation of the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. He explains the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi in great detail, and he adds a 10 further hadith on top as well. So it becomes 50 hadith, and he explains them. Or the 42 in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi, and 8 more on top. We also had in the first volume the side point as well from the Sheikh, the grandson of Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Sheikh Suleiman ibn Abdullah, in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, Taysir al-Aziz al-Hamid, that he said when he mentioned this narration, its meaning is authentic for certain. The meaning of this narration is authentic for certain, even if its chain of narration is not authentic. And even if we can't attribute it correctly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chain of narration may not be authentic, but the meaning of what's contained in it is a fact, a certain fact. He said, and its basis is found in many places in the Quran, such as in his saying, He the Most High, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 65. With the explanation, so no, by your Lord, they will not truly believe until they make you Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam judge between them in whatever disputes occur between them. And he mentioned a number of ayahs with that same meaning, establishing the point that the meaning is correct. So then, after mentioning the narration, none of you truly believes until his desires follow that which I came with. And Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Hafidhullah, he said, and this is proven true by his saying, He the Most High. كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَحْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 70. In the explanation, and in the context of the people of the book before, people of the scripture before, with the explanation. Whenever a messenger came to them with that which their souls did not desire, then some of them they denied, and some of them they killed. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, his saying, and saying of the author, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, his saying, وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ مِنْ قِتَالٍ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ فِتْنَةٌ And all fighting that occurs between the Muslims for this dunya, for this worldly life, then it is fitna, it is discord. Shaykh Fawzan said, fighting between the Muslims is not permissible because the blood of a Muslim is haram, inviolable, forbidden to shed. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَا يَحِلُّ دَمُ امْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ إِلَّا بِإِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ النَّفْسُ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالثَّيِّبُ الزَّانِي وَالتَّارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمُفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the blood of a Muslim person is not permissible to be shed except on account of one of three things: a life for a life, and a married person who commits fornication, and one who abandons his religion and separates from the united group upon the truth. In a footnote they mention this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The reference in Al-Bukhari should be Hadith 6878, and reported by Muslim as Hadith 1676, from Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Fawzan commented and said, so the blood of a Muslim is ma'thum, the blood of a Muslim is protected. And likewise, the blood of a mu'ahad, a non-Muslim who is living under a treaty with the Muslims. A non-Muslim who has a treaty with the Muslims, who has a treaty between himself and the one in authority over the Muslims, or who has a guarantee of security, an aman, from an individual from the Muslims, then his blood will be forbidden on account of the treaty or the guarantee of security. And Allah the Majestic and Most High says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, Ayah 33, with explanation. And do not kill the soul that Allah has made forbidden to kill, except by right. Shaykh Fawzan said, and the soul which Allah has made it forbidden to kill is the believing soul, or the soul which is under a treaty, or that which has been granted security. This is the soul which Allah has made it forbidden to kill. One of these three: a believer, or a non-Muslim under a treaty with the Muslims, or a non-Muslim granted security. This is the soul which Allah has made it forbidden to kill. So it is not permissible for it to be killed except by a right. And the right is that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained as being one of three: either qisas, retaliatory punishment, a life for a life, meaning a murderer is executed, or a person who has been married then commits adultery, that he is stoned until he dies, or an apostate who is killed for his apostasy. This is what renders the blood of a Muslim lawful to shed. And whatever is besides that, then the blood of the Muslim is haram, forbidden. Unless it is a case, unless there are bughat, some rebellious aggressors, or khawarij, who rebel against the Muslims, or commit aggression against the Muslims, then they are fought against in order to repel their evil, not for disbelief. Some rebellious aggressors, they come out from the Muslims and oppose the rest of the Muslims, or some khawarij attack the Muslims, then they are fought to repel their evil. They're not fought for being disbelievers, but they're fought to repel their evil from the Muslims. He said, so the khawarij are fought against, and the bughat, the rebellious aggressors, those who attack the Muslims, are fought against. Those who take that which may not be violated as being permissible to violate, they are killed. They are fought, rather, he said. They are fought to repel their evil. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that they be fought against. And Allah commanded that the bughat, the rebellious aggressors, should be fought against. He, the Most High, said, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th Surah, Ayah 9, for the explanation. And if two groups of the believers fight, then establish peace between them. And then, if one of them transgresses against the other, then fight against the one that transgresses until it returns to the command of Allah. The Shaykh said, so Allah commanded that the rebellious aggressors should be fought against. And the Prophet ﷺ commanded fighting against the Khawarij. And he said, فَأَيْنَمَا لَقِيْتُمُوهُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ. Wherever you find them, then kill them. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and it should be hadith 5057, and reported by Muslim as hadith 1066, from a hadith of Suwayd bin Ghafala, from Ali radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan commented upon this hadith, the command to kill the Khawarij. He said, to repel their evil from the Muslims. So this is a necessary detail with regard to fighting against the Muslims. The asl, the basic principle, is that it is not permissible unless it is a situation of baghi, of aggression. Some of them commit aggression. Or a situation of rebellion, khuruj, against the Muslims. And likewise will be the case if a Muslim attacks you, intending to seize your wealth, or intending to kill you, or intending to commit an act of lewdness with your wife. Then you should repel him in the lightest manner and easiest manner. And if he cannot be repelled except by killing, then you kill him. You repel him as do what you need to repel him. If he can't be repelled except by killing, then you have to kill him then. And his killing will be blood that has no legal consequences. So the blood of a Muslim becomes permissible on account of an assault which he makes, or aggression, or rebellion, or qatl tariq, or cutting off the road, brigandry, highway robbery, cutting off the roads. This renders the blood of a Muslim permissible to shed. And that is not on account of his becoming a disbeliever. Rather, it is just to repel his evil from one's person, or from that which may not be violated, or from one's wealth. So even your wealth, don't let him seize your wealth. Stop him, even if it has to be by killing. And likewise, acts of aggression against the Muslims in general, and against their security, their state of security, by their cutting off roads, or committing aggression, or rebelling against the Muslims. And he said, he's saying, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ فِتْنَةٌ. The Muslims fighting each other for this dunya, for this world. This is fitna, this is discord. And just as a small side point, then Shaykh Salih al-Suhaimi, hafidhahullah, then he made the point here that that is the case. If it's a matter of Muslims fighting each other for this dunya, then no doubt that is fitna. If it's a case, however, where there is a jama'ah of the Muslims, the body of the Muslims upon the truth, and they have a ruler, and then someone goes out and opposes them, rebels against that ruler, then we don't say this is fitna. We say rather we should aid, it's obligatory that we aid that Muslim ruler. The Muslim ruler, and the Muslims with him, and someone rebels, then it's obligatory that we aid. We don't say that's fitna, we stay away, rather we aid that one, we aid that ruler. Aid those Muslims who have been rebelled against. If it's a case, as mentioned here, if it's a case rather it's just two groups of Muslims fighting for this dunya, then that is fitna. So back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he said, he's saying, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ فِتْنَةٌ. They're fighting for this world, then it will be fitna, discord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said. Meaning, if there is fighting between the Muslims for this world, for this dunya, and it is not done defending security or defending the sanctity of the Muslims or defending the wealth of the Muslims, rather it is done just to plunder the wealth and to seize the wealth. So if the Muslims fight each other for the wealth, then the one who kills and the one who is killed will be in the fire. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِذَا التَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَذَا شَأْنُ الْقَاتِلُ فَمَا بَابُ الْمَقْتُولِ. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, when two Muslims meet with their swords, then the killer and the one who is killed will be in the fire. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, this is clearly the case with regard to the killer. But what about the one who is killed? Shaykh Razan said, meaning, why should the one who is killed be in the fire? That's what their question meant. Why should the one who is killed be in the fire? So he said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded, he was striving to kill his companion. He was eager and striving to kill his companion. The hadith, as I mentioned in the footnote, is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith number 31, and Muslim as hadith 2888 from Abu Bakrah radiallahu anhu. Of the companion, which sometimes people confuse with Abu Bakr radiallahu as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, it's a different companion. Abu Bakr, who was Nufay, just a side point, who was Nufay name was Nufayl, or his title was Nufayl ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi. He was from the people of Ta'if. He accepted Islam in Ta'if and fled to the Muslims during the siege of Ta'if. And in later life he settled in Basra and died in the year 51 radiallahu anhu. So it's hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining this hadith, he said, mentioned about the one who was killed, he said his intention was to kill his companion if he had been able to do so. So therefore he will be in the fire and Allah's refuge is sought. Based upon his intention and based upon his holding the blood of his brother to be permissible for him. So therefore he will enter the fire. Then Shaykh Barzan said, he's saying, وَلَا تَخْرُجْ فِيهَا وَلَا تُقَاتِلْ فِيهَا. So with regard to discord, and there's infighting between the Muslims, it's a discord, fitna. He's saying, and do not go out in it, and do not fight in it. Shaykh Barzan said, meaning in fitna, in discord. He's saying, وَلَا تَهْوَى وَلَا تُشَايِعْ وَلَا تُمَايِلْ. And do not fall into it, and do not take sides, and do not incline to one side. Shaykh Barzan said, do not take sides with the people of discord, fitna, and aid them, and support them, and defend them. Don't do that. Don't aid them, support and defend them. Because then you will be participating along with them. If you defend them, and if you declare their view to be correct, even if you do not go out along with them, even if you stay where you are, but you support their view, aid them, assist them, as I said, then you will be participating along with them. For you will be sharing with them in sin, and in outrage, and in transgression. And today there are those people who support the people who set off explosions and the people who cause destruction and who call this jihad and fi sabilillah. There are some people these days who support this type of behaviour, support those people who set explosions off, those who cause destruction and who call it jihad in Allah's cause. So they kill Muslims and non-Muslims under protection, and they cause destruction, and they cause alarm amongst the Muslims, and they say, those are the ones who do it, they say, or those who support them say, this is jihad in Allah's cause, and they defend them, and those people are just the same as them with regard to the ruling, and Allah's refuge is sought. And those people who commit these acts of terrorism, those people who support it, they're just the same in ruling as the ones who do it. Sheikh said, they're just the same in ruling, and Allah's refuge is sought, because they support them, and they declare their view to be correct. So the matter is tremendously dangerous. So you may actually be participating along with them, even though you are not carrying weapons along with them, because of the fact that you are aiding them and declaring their view to be correct. Indeed, even worse than that is that you describe their actions as being jihad in Allah's cause. Then Shaykh finished with a final paragraph and said, he's saying, فَإِنَّهُ يُقَالْ مَنْ أَحَبَّ فِعَالَ قَوْمٍ خَيْرًا كَانَ أَوْ شَرًّا كَانَ كَمَنْ عَمِلَهُ. Since it is said, whoever loves the actions of a people, whether they be good or bad, then he will be just like the one who does them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whoever loves the actions of a people will be just like those who did the action. So if it is good, then he will receive the like of their reward. And if it was evil, then there will be upon him the like of their burden of guilt and sin, and Allah's refuge is sought. And therefore there occurs, regarding the person who wishes to be like the alim, like the scholar, there occurs with regard to a person who wishes to be like the scholar, who teaches the people good, that he will receive the like of his reward. And the person who wishes to be like the rich person, who spends his wealth in Allah's cause, that he will receive the like of his reward, in accordance with his intention. And likewise the opposite is the case. Whoever wishes to be like the criminal, like the people who commit sins, then he will be a sharer with them in sin. Or one who supports their view and declares it to be correct, he will be like them, even if he didn't actually do the like of their deed, just on account of the fact that he declared their opinion to be correct and he inclined towards them. So a person should beware of becoming destroyed without even realizing in these fitan, these tribulations, in this discord, and in these evil activities. And do not speak except with what is good, otherwise remain silent. And that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And with regard to, just very briefly, the explanation of Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi rahimahullah, then he said briefly on this point, he said, so here the author encourages a person staying within his house when there is fitna, when there is discord, taking hold of the hadith of Muhammad ibn Maslama and others, and the hadith such as the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, man naja, what is salvation? So he said, أملك عليك لسانك وليسأك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hold onto your tongue and let your house be sufficient for you, and weep upon your sin. Weep about your sins. Reported by Imam Ahmad and at-Tirmidhi, and he said about it, the hadith is hasan, good. And as I mentioned, the footnote, Sheikh Al-Bandi said the hadith sahih, authentic. Then the Sheikh said, Sheikh Ahmad, he said, and in that regard, there is a warning against drawing close to fitna, to discord, and against aiding its people. In that hadith, there's a warning against drawing close to fitna, discord, and against aiding its people, or taking part along with them, or being pleased with the action of those who stir it up and promote it to such an extent that the Prophet ﷺ commanded whoever reaches it, whoever reaches discord, that he should withhold his hand and stick to his house, to such an extent that he said, and if you fear, I mean if discord breaks upon you, in the context of if the discord breaks into your house, so he said, to the extent that he even said, and if you fear the dazzling of the flashing, or if you fear the flashing of the sword, then throw the edge of your cloak over your face, such that he carries his sin and the sin of killing you, and he will be from the companions of the fire. If someone from the people of discord even breaks into your house, and you fear that you may waver in your resolve, then throw your garment upon your face so you can't see what he's doing, and let him kill you, so that he has his own sin and the sin of killing you upon him, so that he is from the people of the fire. Reported, the Sheikh said, by Abu Dawood and Ahmad and Ibn Majah, and the wording is his. And as they mentioned, the footnote declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. He said, and there are a number of narrations reported from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he said, there will occur affairs which are unclear. So upon you is to remain hidden. For being a follower upon good will be better than being a leader upon evil. والحمد لله صلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك